All right. I'm going to lay a little background here. What we're going to talk about today is three actions. Three actions. Just to lay a little background, I'm going to start with Genesis 11 and verse 27. It said, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees." Now, if you don't know where Ur of the Chaldees was, I looked it up. Ur of the Chaldees was in Iraq, where Iraq is now, kind of over in the southern part of Iraq, below Baghdad. Yeah, had to think. "And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, the son of his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from the land, from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." You know, looking back over time of hearing about Abraham, and we've all studied and we've all heard about Abraham, or at that point it was Abram, and how that God spoke to him and told him to go to Canaan, to the land of Canaan. And we all are, I know I did, I don't know if everybody was that way, but I tended to kind of make that part where the Lord spoke to him to go as the beginning of Abraham's story. But that wasn't the beginning, because Terah, his father, took them to go to the land of Canaan before God, the Lord had spoke to Abram. But you know, Abram had a relationship with God. He had to, because, you know, if God had just said, "Abram, I want you to go to the land of Canaan," and if he didn't have a relationship, it would have been, "Who is that? Who's telling me to do what?" And besides that, said, "This is home. Why would I want to pick up everything that I have?" And he was a rich man. He had lots of goods. "Why would I want to pick up everything I got and go somewhere I don't know anything about?" And so he had a relationship with God because he understood who was talking to him. Then we go to Genesis 12 and 1 through 3. This is where the Lord spoke to him. It said, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee.'" And, you know, he didn't tell him where he was going. Although they had started out toward the land of Canaan. Now, whether God had spoke to his father Terah or not and said, "Go to Canaan," it doesn't say that. We don't know. But we just know that that's where they originally were going. But they had stopped in Haran, was where they were staying. And that's where Terah passed away. So, dad's gone. And now, I'm sure Abram was kind of in a holding place on, what do I do now? Where do I go now? And then the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to go into the country I'll show you. And I will make thee a great nation and bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, here's another situation, because he's telling him that he's going to be a great nation. Well, how's that going to happen? Because his wife's barren. His wife could have no children. So how could he become a great nation? Because there was no offspring at this point. And so, you know, lots of questions there. But did Abram question God? You know, hey, Abram was human like me and you. I know I would have said, but God. It's not written in the Word, but I can just imagine he had a conversation with God about this. I would have. Even though I trusted God, I would have said, but God, you know, how's these things going to happen? You're telling me this stuff, but I can't see it. But Abraham left on in faith, knowing that God was going to do what he said he would do. He said, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, we can still see that today. Because all the earth is blessed. If you bless and you pray for Israel, you're blessed. And any nation that stands with Israel is blessed. And if you look, any nation that stands against Israel is not blessed. And who is Israel? Came right from Abraham. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. Imagine that, being 75 years old, and God says, pick up all your stuff and just go where I show you. I know they lived longer back then, but still, you know, that's not a young man, you know. I know it'd be a little tough on me. I'm not quite 75. I'm getting close. But, you know, if God says, I want you just to gather up all your stuff, your kins, your everything you have, and go to Europe. What? Lord, are you sure about this? You know. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So number one action is walk it out. When God speaks to us, just like he did to Abram, it's time for us to walk it out. Whatever it is, whatever the situation is, whether it's to go somewhere, whether it's to do something, whether it's to speak to someone, whatever that situation is, we need to learn to walk it out. Because we need to put our trust in God that if he said do it, then that's what he means. And that's what he intends for us to do. You know, we have to learn to follow the Lord's direction in whatever we're doing, wherever we are. You know, and sometimes following his direction is for us to make a move like Abram did. Sometimes it's just to follow direction. For instance, everybody likes to go to Walmart. Well, not everybody likes to go to Walmart. Most everybody goes to Walmart. But anyway, our grocery store. You're going through the grocery store and you got your list here and you're looking and, you know, we look at those signs up on the aisles and we say, okay, I don't need anything down that aisle, so I'll skip that aisle. And something says, no, you need to go down that aisle. But I don't need anything down that aisle. No, you need to go down that aisle. You just need to obey because there may be someone down there in that aisle that just needs, they may just need a smile. You may not have to say a word except smile. But you may need to go down there and share Jesus with them. You just have to follow his direction and do what he says to do. Walk it out. Okay? Sometimes what we need to do when we're driving down the road, you know, sometimes we're coming from work and a little something tells you, say, don't go the way you always go. Go over here. Go this way. And maybe tell you to go to some store over here for whatever. Or just don't go that way. Go this way. Well, you know, sometimes his direction that he's giving you is for your safety, for your security. Because down the road, if you went the old way down the road, there may have been a bad accident that you may have been could have been involved in, that he's keeping you from it. A good story of that, or not a story, it actually happened, and I've shared this before. Back when I used to drive some for Gene Griffin, some of you know Gene Griffin, he's passed on now, but I used to drive some with him on his buses. And we were taking a trip, a bus trip, going skiing. We were going to Durango, Colorado, and there was ice and snow all over the ground. That was the only reason I was going with him, because I couldn't drive my truck. And so we're going across, and we're over in New Mexico, and we're driving along and just, you know, wasn't going fast, just driving along, and it was solid ice and snow on the ground, on the roads. And just all of a sudden, Gene was driving, just all of a sudden, the bus just shut off, like if he had reached over and turned the key off. So he's like, okay. So he just coasted over to the side. Of course, Gene's a mechanic, and he knew things to look for. So me and him, we get out of the bus, and we go back to the back and open it up, and he looks a few things, and he says, there it is right there. See this one little wire? And I mean, it was a little wire, just one little bitty wire. Had ice had built on up on it and caused it to break. The only wire on that bus that would just shut it off, because it shut the fuel off. So the engine died. So he's fixing this wire. Highway patrolman pulls up behind us and gets out and said, are y'all okay? He said, yeah, it's this little wire, ice built up on it, and it caused it to break and shut it off. He said, all we got to do is put it back together and we'll be on our way. He said, okay, just making sure y'all were okay. Well, while he was there, he gets called on the radio. He says, I've got to go. There's been an accident up ahead. And so Gene got it fixed. The highway patrolman went on. Gene got the wire fixed. He started up, headed on down the road. We get just, it was only a couple of miles down the road. And an 18-wheeler had jackknifed across the road where we were, and we were running right along with that 18-wheeler before it went dead. So, hey, I fully believe God took care of us. That one, he let the ice build up on that one little wire that would shut that engine off and cause us to stall and be away from that happening. God took care of us. He has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter who you are or what your status is, where you are in life, what you do. It doesn't matter any of those things. God has a plan for your life. And it's our duty to listen to him and walk it out. Now we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is going to be the second action. Starting with verse 44. It says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses, he didn't just say his carcass, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field, wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You know, David and Goliath had a few words there. talking back and forth. What do you call it in football when you taunt each other? They kind of taunted each other there. Trash talk. Except David wasn't talking trash. So, but they had a few words there. But you know, Goliath, he wasn't worried. He's a big old guy, and he's sitting back up there just waiting to see what David's going to do, because, you know, David's just a little guy. And so he's just kind of sitting back, you know, and he's not worried at all. Then verse 48 says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, David, like, whoa, look at this guy. Maybe I need to reconsider. That guy's big. What's going to happen?" No, David wasn't worried, because he knew who was on his side. He knew who had sent him out there. So verse 48 says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." So number two action, run. Run toward the problem. You know, sometimes we have a problem, an issue that we're dealing with, and we let it pile up on us, and then we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to come against it, because we're afraid that, just like Goliath, you know. Whew, and sometimes the things we come against are like Goliath. They're giants. And it's hard to know sometimes how to deal with things. But though David was just a little guy, he wasn't very big. He knew what God had told him. He knew what he was supposed to do. So he took what he had and he ran toward Goliath. And don't you know it probably surprised big old Goliath? Here's this little guy come running at him. He's probably like, "Are you crazy? Look at me. Look how big I am, and look at this sword, and look at this spear. And you're running at me, you little squirt?" I mean, serious. That's how big old guys like that are. It's like, what are you going to do? But David knew what God had said. David knew what he was to do. And when you're facing those giants, if God says, "You got this," well, he usually don't say, "You got this." He says, "We got this. We got this." When he says, "We got this," don't hesitate. Run toward it. Take care of it. Let him tell you how to do it. And he will. He'll tell you exactly how to handle the situation. Run toward it. Take care of it. It's done. Just like with David and Goliath. He ran toward him. He slung the stone. Hit him between the eyes. Goliath falls down. He takes Goliath's sword and cuts his head off. Took care of it. You know, I saw yesterday on a sign. We'd come by here. We were going to Grand Prairie to sing last night. And we come by here. I had some batteries I needed to plug up. So we came by here and plugged them up. And on our way out, you know, going out, we went out this way around to 67. And y'all may have seen it. That church right there just before you get to 67 on the right-hand side. On their sign it said, "For every Goliath, there is a stone." I was like, whoa. I told Brenda, I said, "Brenda, I'm going to use that tomorrow." Because that goes right along with my message. She said, God don't just let you see things by happenstance. But just think about that. For every Goliath, for everything that you face in life, for every situation, there's a stone. For every situation, there's an answer. We just have to be listening. So number one, walk it out. Number two, run toward it. Psalms 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and even forevermore. He wants us to look toward him in every situation. No matter how big Goliath or how big the situation may be, he wants us to look toward him. And he said he would take care of it. Whatever we're facing, he's right there. He's right here. Excuse me. We have him right here in us. So he wants us to look to him and he will show us. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Starting with verse 28. It said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that's my main scripture right there. Now, I kind of did them the opposite. I did walk it out. They will walk and not be weary, not faint. Then I did run. They shall run and not be weary. If we wait. And waiting doesn't necessarily mean to stop and just sit and do nothing. Waiting upon the Lord is being in the place where you hear his instructions. The place where you listen and you hear. Sometimes honestly, we talk too much. Even to the Lord. You know you can talk too much to the Lord? Because sometimes you need to shut up. Excuse the OA. As the kids say the S word, sometimes we need to shut up and listen. Because if we're talking, it's just like standing there face to face with somebody. If you're just constantly talking, you'll never hear what the other person says. Same thing way with God. If you're just constantly talking, a lot of times we get busy talking to the Lord, and when we get through talking, okay, we're through. We go on about our business. We don't slow down and stop and listen to hear the voice that he's going to tell us, because he'll give you instruction. So number three is fly like an eagle. Fly like an eagle. And I have a story that I read. Some of you may have read it. If you want to put that picture up there. It's the story of the eagle and the crow. This old crow, he's sitting up there on top of that eagle. And he's just irritating that eagle. Just pecking him and pecking at his head, pecking at his neck, pulling on his feathers. And he's just sitting up there. And, you know, that eagle, the story was that eagle don't get disturbed, and he don't even pay that crow no mind. What he does is he just goes higher and higher and higher, and he gets so high that crow can't breathe. And so when he gets to that height, that crow just kind of falls off. The story, the way I took this, is that old crow is our enemy. That old crow is the devil. And how many times does the devil get on your back and just, man, you're no good. Man, you can't do what God says for you to do, because after all, look at your past. You know, just think about what they say about you at church. Just think about what your friends say about you. And he'll tell you all kinds of lies. And it's just lies. Because he wants you to believe it. He wants you to believe that you can't do what God says. He wants you to believe that you're not any good. He wants you to believe that though God gives you instructions, you can't handle it. You're not any good. But you know, if we'll just, when he gets up there on our back and starts irritating us, if we'll just fly on up in praise and worship to God. If we just go higher and higher in praise and keep going up in praise and get to higher heights. And we can do that all by ourselves. We don't have to be with everybody else, but it's nice to be with others. We just keep on going higher and higher and higher. And that eagle can just keep going higher. And we can keep going higher. Higher in praise. Praise and worship. Worship to Him. Higher and higher. And you know, after a little while, the devil can't handle that. For one thing, he can't be in the presence of praise to God, because he wants it for himself. And he can't handle that. But you keep going higher and higher in praise. And you know what? The good part is, the higher you go in praise, God comes down and meets you. And as he comes down and meets you, the devil sure can't stay around. He says, oh, I'm out of here. Whew. So he bails out. And that's what we have to learn to do. Fly like an eagle. No matter what's coming at us, no matter how bad the devil's tormenting us, no matter how bad he's beating us in the back, just don't pay him no mind. Because if you don't pay him any mind, and you just start praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord and keep going higher and keep going higher, he's going to bail off. He's going to bail out. And then who's the victor? We are. Because the higher we get, the closer we get with the Lord. So don't let Satan or anything or anybody take you down. Don't let anybody take you down. And don't let Satan take you down, because he can't. Just like that crow can't take that eagle down, because he ain't going to let him. He's just going to go up until that dude has to fall off because he can't breathe. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. And that's what the eagle was doing. He was resisting that crow. And he will flee from you. Going back to verse 31, it says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the interpretation that I had for wait, but they that wait upon the Lord, but they that trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So Walk it out, number one. Walk it out. Number two, run toward it. Don't let anything come against you that you're scared of, because God says you don't have to be afraid. Run toward it. Number two, fly like an eagle. Be mounted up on the wings of praise, and God will take care of you, and He'll be right with you. Amen. Brother Hall.
Go ahead and pray over our body here, and then we're going to minister here for just a second.
All right. Lord, I thank You, Jesus, for Your word that You gave me this morning to share, and I pray that each one of us receive the word and apply it to our lives, Lord, and to remember the things that You tell us in the word, to follow Your word and to follow Your spirit, to walk after You, Lord, and to let our lives be before You. Lord, I ask Your blessing upon every person here. And Lord, I ask You to, if there's any needs in this place,
yes,
Lord, just let them not be afraid to come up.
That's right.
But Lord, to come and to receive, because this is the place to receive. This is the place to come and to get what we need from You, Lord. In Jesus' name.